gets better, doesn't it? Yeah. Can everybody hear me? Oh, it's a bit too loud. You can hear me? Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'll make no apologies. I'm going to bring a word that I brought a while back, but I've improved on it and lengthened it and got different parts coming to it. The reason I'm going to bring it again is because a couple of years ago, I spoke on the cross. I don't expect you to remember too much about that, but it's just after Easter and what the cross meant to us today. And I said to people, if you've got stumbling blocks in your life, and I had a little pad there with this, you know, what you can stick on. I said, write on the pads what you, the stumbling blocks in your life, and stick it on the cross, which you did. And I was the first one to do it, and I put, what did I put in there? Disappointments, I think it was. And, oh no, it was regrets, all right. And I wrote regrets and put it on the cross, and people gradually came out, same old thing in James Street. It was a bit slow to start, but after people started coming, they all came and wanted to stick something of their stumbling blocks on their lives. And the meeting was over and people left the church and it was just me by myself. And I started taking the stickers off the cross and that thing, some of the stickers fell down. Okay, so I read them. And I think about 80% of it was about fears. Fear of flying, fear of the future, fear of jobs. It went on and on and on. All the fears were different, but there were fears. All the same. And I thought, hey, we're Christians. You know, this is... And so I don't want this word to be negative. I want it to be encouragement. And because I've been really waiting on the Lord, and I feel the Lord is bringing us into a new season. A new season, you know, and a new season brings different things and new things. And I believe some of you this morning, at this time, I bring a prophecy to you that your life will change in a good way. But there'll be issues and things that will be presented to you that you need to deal with to go on. And we're a church that has to go on, has to move, has to change. And that means lots of different things. Having to forgive, having to build again. But, you know, beloved, we've got God with us. And it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I said it again, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear. And so, as I was coming away from the cross that morning, I started to look into the actual fear, the word, what does it mean, and that. And I was surprised to realize when I started studying it that fear is mentioned in every book of the Bible, which is interesting. And you know, you might think it's negative, but like I said, the Lord has got new things for us this season. And I'm excited about this new season. I don't quite know what's going to be coming, but there'll be a lot of change, a lot of new things. And we don't like change usually, do we? But, you know, the Lord says that he's forever changing things. And so let's be ready. Let's be ready. And I'm on wrong page. Yeah. My secretary didn't put these up right, actually, so I'm back on itself now. And, you know, President Roosevelt once said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And it's true. And as I looked and studied a little bit about fears, I come to the conclusion there's five roots of fear. It's a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, a fear of death, a fear of man, and the only positive fear we got It's the fear of God. The other four can be helpful, but can be destructive. So I'm going to go through the fears with you, and if it speaks to you, act upon it this morning. You know, we'll have a time of prayer, and let's get rid of these stuff, because the Lord wants us to go on in strength. He doesn't want us to carry the baggage. So, firstly, the fear of rejection. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, there is this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he has a new creation. He is a new creation. And the old is passed away. The new has come. The old has passed away. The new has come. So, beloved, let's look on the new things in life. The fear of rejection is a very common fear. I think it's the most common fear that there is. And it starts quite innocently at times. For some people, it's their father going away. Maybe he's in the Navy or something like this. The church I was in before in Gosport, there was a lot of naval personnel. And there was a lot of people with a fear of rejection in it too. Their fathers are going away, their mothers just by themselves with them. And the fear of rejection can come in quite innocently. It also can come in through other serious things like divorce or abuse. And, you know, you've got those things coming in as well, but it can come in quite innocently. But once fear of rejection is in you, it stays there until it's dealt with. Or if sometimes, in some cases, if you don't seek help, it's never dealt with. And for some people, they find that the fear of rejection is a kind of comforter as well, and they don't want to lose it. So, but beloved, it's best gone. It's a pattern that comes into us. So, when you're young and this happens, it comes in not as a sense of rejection, but as a sense of betrayal. And once rejection comes in, it's like a treadmill. Rejection works like this. You so fear rejection that you want to pull people close to you. And sometimes relationships are a disaster through it. And once you've got the person close to you, the rejection works in you, and you want to push them away. And it's like this all the time. This is a treadmill, and you can't stop. It goes round and round and round, where people get really messed up. So if one of these fears are touching you this morning, just please speak to somebody. Secondly, we have the fear of failure. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you." Hello? He will strengthen you and help you in your fear of failure. Fear of failure can do one or two things, because nobody wants to be a failure, do they? But when you fear failure, it becomes an obsession, you're in trouble. And you do one or two things. You stop everything because you're fear of failing. Nothing is achieved. That's one side of fear of failure. And the other side of fear of failure is that you only concentrate on one thing because you refuse to be a failure on that thing, and you ignore everything else that's going on in your life. Okay, so, you know, you've got those two things. And I know people like this. Some of them are my very good friends. One very good friend of mine, who's a businessman, he's the second thing. He won't drop, put anything down. Nothing else matters. His family doesn't matter. Nothing matters until this thing becomes a success. And, you know, that's wrong as well. The fear of failure can be a real destroyer of things. I always remember Charles, and I really will try to get him back to speak to us again. His passing shot was to us that morning, we can fear to fail. You know? If we fail, and if we've tried and we failed, that's okay. My foreman said, you can make a mistake once, but don't make it a second time. But, you know, you dare to fail, he said, didn't he, the Charles? Dare to fail. There's two well-known people that were failures. One was Hitler, and one was Abraham Lincoln. Hitler failed in the First World War. Hitler failed when he applied to the Art College, and they refused him. I often wonder if they didn't refuse him, what would have happened? But his fear of failure grew and grew and grew until it was the monster it was. And Abraham Lincoln, on the other side, he had about 30 or 40 different jobs before he became president of America. He failed in a lot of jobs, but he became president of America in the end. And he did some wonderful things like freeing the slaves. You know, it's positive, that side of it. So fear of failure is you've got to weigh it up, you've got to look at it, you know, and don't get obsessed with it. Amen? Okay, number three is the fear of death. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, that's Martha, the sister of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Brothers and sisters, we got this promise. You know, I'm over 21 now. And, you know, death is a certain thing for all of us. It's getting nearer for me. But I'm not afraid of death. And it's surprising how many Christians are fearful of death. I can't understand it. I'm going somewhere really great. You know? But I've written here, we all know that death is the number one killer. And we will meet it sooner or later. But being a Christian, we should never fear death. We should respect and enjoy life all the time that God gives us breath. I love it down here. I really do. I walk in the morning and I thank the Lord for the fresh air and the fresh water we drink. You know, we're so blessed in this country. And I rejoice to the Lord about living. But I'm not afraid of death. In Philippians 1, 19 to 26, it says this, Paul talks about wanting to be with Christ. He says, you know, for me to live in Christ and to die is gain. It's something else I can have. It's something else you can look forward to, actually. It seems strange, doesn't it, looking forward to death, but we know where we're going there. But also he goes on to say, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means staying alive, it means fruitful labour for me for the rest of my life. Now, what does that mean, fruitful labour? That means working in the kingdom. Okay, you might not be full-time pastor or minister, but you're working in the kingdom, doing different things. And let's focus on that in this season, to be doing different things, building the kingdom up. Now, the fourth fear is something that really has struck me lately, and that's the fear of man. It says in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. What does it mean by the fear of man? Well, in the world sense, it means a kind of fear of authority. But in the spiritual sense, it means something quite different. Now, my greatest hero against the fear of man was Moses. I'm looking around for Andy. Can you give me a drink of water, please? Thank you. Was Moses. Now, Moses was minding his own business, herding the sheep, keeping, looking out. Actually, he had a good little number going. Something I could suit me quite nicely. No troubles, nice and peaceful, not having to do this and do that. Tending the sheep. Looks over at a bush and it's burning. Where did that come from? Go over there and he hears this voice, Moses. I don't know about you, but I hope I'll be wearing brown trousers if that happened to me. And this voice, Moses, speaks to him. And he realizes it's God. Oh, thanks, mate. Oh, needed that. Realized it was God. And listened to him. And he said, Moses, I want you to pop along to Pharaoh and tell him to release all my people. Now, if I was Moses, I would have said, you what? Now, this is Pharaoh, the Lord of, you know, everything can, you could see. And it wasn't an unknown force for Moses. He knew all about Pharaoh because he lived in the palace. He lived on, and he knew all the wickedness that went on in the palace. He knew all the black magic and all the wizardry and everything else that went on in that wicked place. And God said to him, I want you to go and talk to Pharaoh to set my people free. And Moses was more fearful of God than of man. And he didn't know about the plagues that was going to come, the miracles that was going to come, but he knew that he was fearful of God. He trusted God more than he did man. He was fearful of God more than fearful of man. And I say to you this morning, where do you stand? I had to really ask myself this because I've got this fear of man, what people may think of me. You know, I go to church every Sunday. I know people look at me as I've got my Bible under my book, walking through our northern estate. And you know, I've got to admit, sometimes I feel a bit uncomfortable. But, you young people, you know, I'm really blessed by seeing the young people coming into the church because, you know, they get it in the neck more than we do. And it's a fearful of man. And we've got to be free of this fear of man. And every time something comes to me now and starts saying, what you're doing there, why you're doing this sort of thing, get a life and all this sort of thing. I think of Moses. How God said to him, I want you to pop along to Pharaoh and set my people free. And you know, it's a real honor for us to be Christians and fearful of God and not of man. Yep. You know, I've written down here, do we fear man more than God? And I've put these different areas in our life. Our work, I'm retired, so this is the best job I've ever had. But some of you go out seriously working. And I always remember I worked on luxury yachts. And once we got the furniture, and we call it furniture, all the different bits and pieces, the yacht actually becomes smaller. And there's not much space for us to work in. And we're all, number one, important. And we're trying to do the work. And, you know, tempers get a little frayed, a little edgy here and there kind of thing. You're working away and you hit somebody in the ear that's bending down doing electrical. You say, oh, sorry, Fred, and all that. But, you know, and you get to be known as the Christian in the workplace. And for some people, they show respect. Other people, they ought to get you. And, you know, are you fearful of man or fearful of God at your workplace? to our home and our family. You know, are we fearful of our family or are we fearful of God? Some of my family are not Christians, but I try every opportunity to share the Lord with them without getting on my soapbox. Are we fearful of God and our family? Or are we fearful of God here at Golden Grove? Do we get out enough to share with them? Are we walking in fear of man? Or are we in fear of God? Okay, that's our fourth fear. Fifth fear is the fear of God. Now, this is the only positive fear that we've got. In Proverbs 19, verse 23, it says, "The fear of the Lord leads us to a life that one can rest content, untouched by trouble." Whoa, if only, you say. But it's true. If we haven't got God, we've got trouble. I mean, we don't live a life that's floaty and everything else. We have our troubles, we have our problems, but we can go to God with it. They can't. I don't know how they get on. I really don't. So, what is the fear of God? Well, it can be many things. But one of the important things for me with fear of God is that, you know, people think about the fear of God as some man up there with white hair pointing a big stick at you. Well, it's not that. I think the fear of God is this, that if I ever move away from God, I will lose my relationship with him. That scares me stiff. And that's my fear of God. I want to keep close to God, keep near him, listening what he says, spending time with him, spending time in the Word. Beloved, we need to be our eyes on him. Fear of God. I've written here, I was thinking about this in my breakfast time this morning. It was cooked by my daughter this morning, which was very nice. Well done, Tash. He who is in me is greater than he that's in the world. Now, that's something that the Lord reminded me while I was eating my breakfast, and I thought, yeah, I say that this morning. And so as we go about our life, I'm going to pray now about this. Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd come now and minister to all of us. Lord, we've been fearful of things, and Lord, I pray that you forgive us. Lord, and that you build us up and give us strength and set us free, Lord. And so I ask, Lord, for your courage and your compassion and your love to be able to set us free of any fear. We ask in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And if you feel that you are still struggling with fear, come and talk to us. And I'll really feel it's a joy and an honor to be able to pray with you.